Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to this week's khutbah, and the topic is Al-Baqiyatu Salihat, the good that endures or stays. Alhamdulillah, all praises are for Allah, who has honored us with the greatest of honor, and who has given us that which we can do in this world of temporality, whereby that which we've done endures in the world of eternity. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of absolute love, adoration, and worship except Allah, the One, the utterly unique, having no partners in His oneness, the Master of all, the True, the One who clarifies and makes clear all things. And I bear witness that our Master, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the slave of Allah and His Messenger. O Allah, send Your prayers, blessings, and grace upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and upon his family, the pure, and all his companions, and whomsoever follows them in the best of ways till the last day. Amma ba'd. I advise you, slaves of Allah and myself, with an awe-filled consciousness of Allah, for verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And fear a day wherein which you will be returned back to Allah, and then every soul will be compensated for what it has done, and they will not be treated unjustly. O you who believe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us about that which endures in this life and that which perishes. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
Al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayati dunya. والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا.
Verily, wealth and children are but an adornment of the worldly life. But that which endures, the enduring good deeds, are better to your Lord for reward, and better for you to place your hope upon. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse that I've just recited mentions things that adorn this worldly life. Al-mal wal-banoon, wealth and children. But like everything else that is attached to this worldly life, they are perishing in and of itself. And that which stays is that which is done purely for Himself, purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكْ إِلَّا وَجْهَ, that everything is perishing except that which is done for His countenance, His self. And that's why the بَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ, the enduring goodness that we take with us, are those good deeds that are done purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. And it's for this reason that Ibn Abbas, who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said was the mufassir, the ultimate interpreter of the Quran, interpreted the phrase wal baqiyatu salihat, the good that stays or the enduring good, as being dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as being prayer, as being siyam, fast, as being hajj, as being sadaqah, charity, as being family connections, seeking to connect people to the good. In other words, Ibn Abbas said, all, collectively, any good that is done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that which is al-baqiyatu salihat, the good that endures. Because its effects, its ajr, its thawab, its reward endures in perpetuity, endures forever, endures for eternity in the abode of eternity, in the abode of paradise. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally calls it al-baqiyat, which means that which stays, because the reward and outcome of that which is done for His sake has an eternal dimension. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير مردا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the enduring good, or the enduring good deeds that are done for His sake, are better to your Lord in terms of a reward, and better in terms of maradda, in terms of a recourse, in terms of something you can collect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally describes the baqiyatu salihat here, the good deeds that have an eternal dimension, as being khayr, as being good. And the reason why that is because the performer of the actions of such deeds attains what is truly khayr. Something can only be called khayr or shar. Something can only be called ultimately good or ultimately bad from the position of its aqibah, from the position of where it ends, from the position of how does it result in the long term, or more appropriately, how does it result for eternity? In other words, if we want to do something that's real khayr, then we should think about every action that we do and ask ourselves the question, what is in it for Allah? How much can I devote my life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much can I bring to my heart the remembrance, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam literally defined the baqiyatu salihat, the good that endures or the good that stays, as being various types of dhikr, various types of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he said, al baqiyatu salihat. Here, at takbir. He said the good that endures is the takbir, which is saying Allahu Akbar. Wat tahleel. It is the tahleel, which is saying La ilaha illallah. Wat tasbih, it is the tasbih, which is saying Subhanallah. Wat tahmeed, it is the tahmeed, which is saying Alhamdulillah. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. And the baqiyatu salihat is wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah, saying there is no strength and there is no might and there is no movement except through Allah. These statements that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, these are encompassing statements to do with the majesty and the glory and the praise and the ultimate qudra and the ultimate ability that pertains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. These statements are testification of the recognition of His rububiyyah through the simultaneous acknowledgement of our ubudiyyah, our slavehood. And that's why beyond just a verbal utterance, these are sayings of embodied meanings. In other words, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was delineating that to live your life in accordance with what these sayings really mean, this results in the transference or the acquiring of a life of such engaged consciousness that you literally become partaking of the baqiyatu salihat. Your every moment, your every breath, your lived experience transfers to a dimension of eternality. In a world of ephemerality, in a world where things constantly are coming and going, you are that which is thabit. You are that which has permanence, because your heart is attached to that which is baqi. Your heart is attached to that which has permanence. As some of the ulama made the tafsir of the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَلْ آخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى, that which is comes after is better than that which comes first. They said, وَالْبَاقِي خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْفَانِي, that which stays is better than you than that which goes. Any pleasure, any joy that has a temporal nature that eventually will leave you is going to be a joy that translates into sadness, depending on the degree you've attached your life onto the partaking of that joy. But if you attach yourself to Allah, and if you attach yourself to the rida, the contentment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then your lived experience itself will be different to everyone else. Your lived experience itself will be an experience of eternality, will be an experience of constant bliss, because that attachment is attached to that which can never go. That attachment which you have, a life attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the goodly life. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah istafa min al-kalam arba'." That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen specifically from speech that can be uttered four majestic utterances. Subhanallah. How glorified, how incomprehensibly glorified is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walhamdulillah. And how all absolute praise ultimately goes back to Allah. Wa la ilaha illallah. And how there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah. Or at a higher level, how there is nothing worthy of absolute being except Allah. Wallahu akbar. And Allah is greater than anything that can be cognized. فَمَنْ قَالَ. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, so whosoever says Subhanallah, whosoever says Subhanallah, كُتِبَ لَهُ عِشْرُونَ حَسَنًا, he finds for himself written 20 beautiful deeds. وَحُطَّ عَنْهُ عِشْرُونَ سَيِّئَةً, and to be removed from him will be 20 bad deeds. وَمَنْ قَالَ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ فَمِثْلُ ذَلِكَ, and so whoever says Allahu Akbar has the same. وَمَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ فَمِثْلُ ذَلِكَ, and whosoever says لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ has the same, i.e. the acquiring of 20 good deeds and the removal of 20 bad. وَمَنْ قَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ مِنْ قِبَلِ نَفْسِهِ كُتِبَ لَهُ بِهَا 30 حَسَنًا أَوْ حُطَّ عَنْهُ 30 سَيِّئَةً. And whomsoever says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, min qibli nafsihi, from his very essence, he shall find for himself written 30 great deeds and removed from his account 30 misdeeds. Now, the intent of hadith such as this is not to send us into a type of accounting equation, as if we're engaged in a transaction of deeds with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, it is to allude to the way our simple statements, and statements not just with the tongue, but of embodied statements in our heart. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, min qibli nafsihi, from his very essence, from his very self. Statements such as these, which have a transference of meaning to the heart, bring about not only the acquiring of further good deeds, baqiyatu salihat, but they also bring about an atonement. They also bring about a healing. They also bring about a rectification. They also bring about a restitution, a reforming of ourselves that otherwise may have done wrong. So just as the good is supplemented, the bad is removed. And so what stops us from these things? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to engage in much dhikr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, also in another hadith famously said, مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ رَجُلٌ يَقُولُ, there's not upon earth a man who says, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا كُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is not upon the earth a man who says these four phrases, illa kufirat anhu dhunubuhu walau kanat akthara min zabadil bahri, except that the sins that he's accumulated will be covered and removed from him, even if these sins were to amount to the plentitude of the foam on the sea. In other words, as long as we have breath, as long as we have life, then the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that which we should be engaged in. And we should never despair of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ability to rectify our states by our simple decision to align our hearts, as testified through our tongues, to Him. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in another hadith said, that's narrated, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came upon the Sahaba, and he said, "Khudhu jannatakum, take your paradise." And they said, "What?" And the hadith goes on to say, "Ay wiqayatikum," in other words, your protection, "minan nar," from the hellfire. Qulu, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You want Jannah and you want protection from the hellfire? Then say, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." Say these things, فَإِنَّهُنَّ يَأْتِينَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مُسْتَقْدَمَاتٍ مُسْتَأْخَرَاتٍ وَمُنْجِيَاتٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that these phrases will come on the day of judgment, on that day when we will all be in need of goodly things that we did, and they will be coming, they will, that which will come to intercede, they will, that which will come that will munjiyat, that will finally save, they will come to provide a type of salvific quality. وَهُنَّ الْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once again said that these phrases, these engagements with these words and their meanings, are the baqiyatu salihat, are the good that endures. So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was speaking about these words that have eternal dimension, he also mentioned how the very utterances that we have also reflect in that eternal dimension with a kind of reality that reflects the weight that they had. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in another hadith said, "Qul subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar yughras laka bi kulli wahidatin shajaratun fil jannah." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Say subhanallah, say alhamdulillah, say la ilaha illallah, say wallahu akbar, and you will find planted for you in every single utterance that you make implicitly shajaratun fil jannah, a tree of paradise." And these are isharat as well as things that have meanings. These are indications of metaphysical realities as well as things that have a reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We believe in them literally, but we understand that our literal belief translates to something of a spiritual dimension that we can never really estimate or qualify in this world. But what that also represents is that this has a manifestation in the next world, the world that stays. And trees of paradise have itself a great symbolic reference. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always choose and always emphasize that which is best for us to do. And if we want to know what the best for us to do, look at how he emphasized and encouraged those who were the closest to him. His own daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, when she went to him once, or went on behalf through her husband and went and mentioned the need that she would like a someone to help her in her, in the duties, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Would I not ala adulluki ala ma huwa khayrun laki min khadimin? Should I not guide you or direct you to that which is better for you than a servant or a maid who can come and help you?" And what was that? Tusabbihina thalathan wa thalathina. Recite Subhanallah 33 times. وَتَحْمَدِينَ ثَلَاثًا وَثَلَاثِينَ. And recite Alhamdulillah 33 times. وَتُكَبِّرِينَ أَرْبَعًا وَثَلَاثِينَ. And say Allahu Akbar 34 times. حِينَ تَأْخُذِينَ مَضْجَعِكِ. He said, "Say this whenever you are coming to bed, when you're just about to go to bed." And so this was the advice of the best of creation to the daughter of the best of creation, of what is better for her than the toil and difficulties that she was having in this world. Wallahi, the ulama say, if this world had any value, if this world was any significance, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have given it to His most beloved. And He Himself would have ensured that it was given to His most beloved, His own daughter. But rather we see that this world's reality is something of little value. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this as a place for mazra, as a place to sow so that you can reap in the next life. And every moment that we have in this world is a moment to sow so we can reap in the next life. And how do we sow and how do we reap? By engaging in the dhikr of Allah, by making our life a life for Allah, by making ourselves for Allah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ encouraged us. Why do we not engage in that which is khafifun ala lisan? Dhikr, which is made easy on the lips. Thaqilun fil mizan, heavy on the scale of judgment. Habibun ila rahman, beloved to the most merciful. Wabihi nanalul jinan, but it's through these things that are little but heavy on the scale that we ultimately attain al-jinan, paradise, the abode that stays forever. So brothers and sisters who are listening, in conclusion, this whole khutbah has been an emphasis and a reminder to myself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the dhakirin. A reminder to myself first and foremost that we make much dhikr and bushra lakum. Glad tidings to you that we have approaching us in these coming 10 days the best of occasions to make this tajdeed, the best of occasions to make this renewal in our lives, to make this commitment in our lives to a life of dhikr. So don't let this opportunity go, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by these days and these nights. He swears when he says wal fajr wa layalin ashr, by dawn and by the 10 nights. And the ulama say these are the 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah. And elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَذْكُرُ إِسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ, and mention the name of Allah on the known days. And the mufassirun, the scholars of the Quran, say the أَيَّام and ma'lumat, the days that are known, are once again these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And so Allah is telling us, mention my name. And that's why in the Sahih Hadith, once again from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's narrated when he said, "Ma min ayyamin, there are no days, a'zamu 'indallah, of greater rank to Allah, wa la ahabbu ilayhi al-'amalu fihinna, and nothing which is more, no days which are more beloved to him that we act therein in, min hadhihi al-ayyam al-'ashr, than these 10 days." فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ. So be proficient in these days of saying La ilaha illallah, of saying Allahu Akbar, and of saying Alhamdulillah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to make much dhikr in these days, and to engage in that which is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said is, he said, "Ahabbul kalam ila Allahi arba'." He said the most beloved of speech to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is four: Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. These four phrases are the most beloved to Allah. So we should we not combine, brothers and sisters, that which is most beloved to Allah in that which is most beloved to Allah? Should we not make our lips and our tongues moist with that which is most beloved to Allah in the days and nights that are most beloved to Allah? The one who pays attention to the sha'air, to these great moments and these great signs from Allah, فَإِنَّهَا مِن تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ, then this is from the consciousness, the God consciousness of the heart. So the degree, brothers and sisters, that we avail this great opportunity to make dhikr is the degree to where we stand with regards to our consciousness and our taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq by His grace, because we can't make dhikr of Him except through His facilitating it for us. We can't draw nearer to Him except that He wants us to draw nearer to us, to Him. We can't love Him except that He loves us first. So may He facilitate by His grace our facilitating and our using these moments, these days and nights, starting with these blessed 10 days and nights, for His dhikr, and may they become the beginning and the dawn of a life that is devoted to his dhikr. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزِ. And that is not something difficult for him. So don't you think it's difficult for him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to bestow upon us from his vast bounty and generous kindness to create in us this avidness for his dhikr. We ask him to make us be of those who are devoutly obedient to him, to enable us to be of those who are in service to the way of his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be in obedience in service of those he's ordered us to be in obedience to. I say this and I ask Allah for forgiveness for me, and I also ask him forgiveness for you. So invoke him for forgiveness, for he's the most forgiving, the most merciful. And through this week's khutbah comes to an end. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.